Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Stu McLaren, and I'm just a temporary host because the real host, Michelle Cachette, well, she is recovering from her battle with cancer, but hey, you know what? The good news, high five to Michelle. She's recovering faster than the doctors predicted. So she's going to be back sooner rather than later, which is good news for everybody.
It is good news for everybody. Although you're doing a marvelous job. And I'm so grateful for you sitting in for her.
I appreciate that.
You're not
her,
but you're doing a great job.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Michael. And we both distinctly did something before we started this episode. Do you know what that was?
We felt the sudden urge to stand up, to walk around. Yeah.
Exactly. We both got up. In fact, everybody in studio got up, except for The two of the video guys over here, but we won't let that.
We won't name names.
Yeah, we won't name names. We'll let them off the hook. But what we're talking about today is the hidden dangers of sitting while you work. So I just thought it was interesting and fascinating that we both intentionally got up before we started this episode.
Well, I do think it was definitely influenced by reviewing the notes before we did this.
Absolutely. Well, I want to get into today's episode because this is a reality for a lot of people, including both you and I, in that our work demands, in the sense, that we are sitting.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, that means sitting for a good chunk of the day. And there's some dangers to this, and we want to talk about that here today. So on your blog, you once shared a great infographic from visual.ly, visually, about the dangers of sitting. And that infographic stated, "The human body isn't built to sit for long periods of time. 100 years ago, when we were all out toiling in the fields and factories, obesity was basically non-existent. But with the advent of TV, computers, and the desk job, we're sitting down more than ever before in history. 9.3 hours a day, which is even more time than we spend sleeping, which is an average of 7.7 hours. Our bodies weren't built for that, and it's starting to take its toll." Now, I know desk jobs with long hours have been a part of your career. And again, to reiterate, many of us are sitting because of our work a lot of the time. How has it affected you and your body?
Well, I realized in about 2005 that there was something wrong with this, that I just didn't like sitting. Because when I would get up from these long periods, as you were saying, of sitting, and I'd spent most of my life in meetings or behind the desk, I would just be sore. I would feel, as I got older, like I had stiffness, and I just didn't like the way I felt. So when I became the CEO of Thomas Nelson, I bought a stand-up desk.
For yourself?
For myself. And so I had it in the office, and I ended up working there probably 70 to 80% of the day.
Wow.
Standing up. And I learned to love it. And so now I have a stand-up desk at my home. I've got a stand-up desk at my office downtown. And I've got another stand-up desk that's being built for me for my new video studio that's going in at the house.
Huh.
So that's how much I believe in it. I really don't sit that much. And I also have a stand-up treadmill desk. Crazy, isn't it? So you've seen it.
I saw it. I remember the first time you showed me. I couldn't stop smiling watching you walk on that thing.
I don't use that much anymore, but literally for years, that was the primary way in the winter I would get my exercise. I would be on the treadmill. And up until about 3 miles an hour, I could work on a computer on that desk.
Yeah, because you're not running or walking really fast.
I mean,
it's just slow movement. But the main thing that you're sharing is that you were upright. You were standing up.
I was upright.
Yep.
And it had huge, huge health benefits.
Well, you've got 4 stats to help us understand the surprising dangers behind sitting at our desks. And I want to talk about those. So the first stat I'm going to ask you to share with us is...
Well, this is a little bit shocking.
Okay.
You know, if you've never heard this, you may think this is trivial. You know, what are they doing talking about sitting? I mean, this is your life. Yeah. Well, it is your life. And I want you to have as much of it as you can. And I also want you to be as productive as you can. So this is really under the category of productivity and health. So the first stat is that sitting increases the risk of death. Sitting 6 or more hours per day makes you up to 40% more likely to die within 15 years than someone who sits less than 3 hours a day.
Okay, so let me put this in perspective. Somebody who sits 6 hours or more per day is 40% more likely to die 15 years earlier than someone who sits less than 3 hours a day. That is crazy.
That's crazy. But this is a study that was done, and this is not somebody just, you know, cooking this up, but this is based on medical science.
That's okay. For the first stat, that is pretty compelling case to stand up more. What's the second stat?
This isn't quite as severe, but sitting contributes to obesity. Obese people sit for an average of 2.5 more hours each day than thin people.
Wow.
Now think, I mean, that stands to reason, right? If you're not moving around, you're not getting the exercise, you're not burning the calories, you're going to get fat.
Yep.
Or you're going to stay fat. You're not going to lose weight.
So, one, if you want to live more, stand up.
Yep.
Two, if you want to weigh less, stand up more. Two great compelling stats for standing up more during the day. Do you have a third stat?
I do have a third stat, but before I get to the third stat, I want to say something else about the second stat.
Okay.
We have an epidemic of obesity in this country.
Hmm.
And I was in Europe, Gail and I were in Europe last year, and we were there for a month. And it was a little bit shocking to us when we came back to the States. There were a couple of things that really shocked us. But one was just how rampant obesity is. We didn't see that in Europe. And we didn't see it in Europe because people walk a lot.
Right, because I know in England and France and many countries throughout Europe, they rely so much more on the public transportation, but they got to walk everywhere.
They do. They walk. Yeah. They ride bicycles. You know, when we were in Amsterdam, I mean, everybody has a bicycle in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And we just didn't see very many overweight people.
Hmm.
And when we came back here, I think it's a combination of people sitting a lot. It's the food that we eat, both the quality and the quantity. I couldn't believe the volume of food that people eat in the States. Is it like that in Canada? Probably.
It is, yeah. I wouldn't say as rampant as it is in the U.S., but we used to joke when our family moved over from England originally, and the running joke was, everything's bigger and better in Canada. And a lot of that had to do with the joke started from restaurants that we would go to. We just couldn't believe the volume of food that was served.
Do you notice it even when you come to the States, though, now?
Yeah, big time. I notice more in the States in terms of especially the volume, like the cup sizes are way bigger.
Ridiculous.
When people serve fries, they're like over, you know, they're flowing off the plate type thing. There's a lot more.
Okay, so this is just a little pet peeve, but one of the things that I don't get the logic behind, you go to a restaurant in the States, you order dinner, maybe an appetizer, maybe a salad, soup, dinner. And it's this huge volume of stuff. And you're totally stuffed. If you eat everything that they serve you, you're totally stuffed. And then they come back and they always ask this question, did you save room for dessert? It's like, and I said to a waiter the other night, I said, you know, if you want to sell more desserts, make the portions smaller on the entrees.
Yeah.
Because there's no way anybody has room for dessert. Well, actually, they probably do.
But I think it's almost like, I think restaurant owners feel handcuffed to a certain extent.
They do.
In the sense that if they consciously make the decision to serve less, they get complaints that they're small portions. And I think it's a cultural thing, you know,
like
what you're talking about. I don't know, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it. Where do we begin to transform that?
Well, I think one of the easy places where we can take control is this whole idea of sitting versus standing.
We'll have stand-up restaurants.
That's called a pub. No, but seriously, I think that this idea of standing up is one of the places where we can begin to fight back, begin to burn more calories, and not succumb to obesity. I mean, it's not one thing.
Right.
You know, it's not like if I start standing at work that it's going to solve all the problems in the world, but it's a place to fight back.
Yep, it's got it. Okay, so we are talking about the dangers of sitting, and Michael has been sharing stats with us that are pretty staggering, make a compelling case to stand more. The first stat was that sitting increases the risk of death, and I couldn't believe this. It's a great stat to start off with, but sitting 6 or more hours per day makes you up to 40% likelier to die within 15 years of someone who sits less than 3 hours a day. And the second stat that you shared was that sitting contributes to obesity. Obese people sit for an average of 2.5 more hours each day than thin people. Amazing. We've got more stats that we are going to be sharing. We're also going to talk to Michael about how we can stand more and what's some practical ways that we can incorporate this into our life. We'll get to those in just a minute.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 Proven Strategies for Creating More Margin for the Things That Matter Most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
And we are back. Thank you again for joining us, where we're talking about the hidden dangers of sitting while you work. And Michael, you shared 2 incredible stats right at the top. Number 1, sitting increases the risk of death, and you gave some specific stats to that. You also talked about how sitting contributes to obesity, and you gave some stats around that. What's the 3rd one that you want to share with us?
Yeah, sitting jobs directly correlate to cardiovascular disease. Now get this stat, and again, this is from this infographic that Visually did. People with sitting jobs have twice the rate of cardiovascular disease than people with standing jobs.
Wow.
So you're automatically at risk by having a sitting job. You're putting yourself at extraordinary risk for a cardiovascular related disease by doing that.
This is crazy. So you risk death, you risk being overweight, you risk cardiovascular disease.
Starting to get the idea that this may not be good for you.
This might be a compelling case to stand more. What's the 4th stat you want to share?
The negative effects of sitting are immediate, not just long-term. And again, from the infographic, effects that occur in your body within 24 hours of extended periods of sitting. First of all, the electrical activity in the leg muscles shut off. Calorie burning drops to 1 calorie a minute. Enzymes that help break down fat drop 90%. Good cholesterol drops 20%, and insulin effectiveness drops 24%.
Wow. So all things that we want working in our favor are not.
That's right. Now, I want to also give you some reasons that aren't physiological, but just mental. And I think that one of the things that happens to us when we sit a lot is we get more sluggish. We're less productive. We're less energetic.
Right.
And therefore, we're less productive. And there's something about standing, and unless you've done this, do you have a stand-up desk?
I do. Yeah, I learned it from you.
Okay.
And
I was just checking.
Yeah, no, it was one of the things I learned from you when we started working together. Golly, I think it's almost 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
But I noticed that you had a stand-up desk everywhere. You had when you were first recording your podcast, it was there. You had your computer is there, and you had a sit down desk, but you were only using that 30% of the time.
Yeah,
I think you said
20-30%.
Yeah. But I ended up mirroring your exact setup. So I have a monitor at my stand up desk with its own keyboard and trackpad.
Great.
And then it's mirrored to my sit down desk.
Perfect. Yeah. Exactly what I do.
But it does take time to get used to.
So how did you find that? Did you find that it was hard to stand up for longer periods of time?
Well, the male ego in me was like, well, Michael's standing for 70% of the day. I should be able to do that right off the bat.
Yeah, he's twice my age.
No, I could not do that right away. It just took time. You know, I felt it in my lower back, to be honest.
Yeah.
And, but it took time to strengthen that. But one of the things that was, for me, a real compelling reason to have a stand-up desk was my posture. And I still struggle with that today because I've been sitting at a desk for so many years and I'm working on it with my trainer and stuff. But yeah, when you're hunched over all the time, it ends up creating bad posture.
How does it affect your energy level?
I'm way more energetic, especially on webinars and when I'm delivering online presentations. When I do coaching sessions, I have a few coaching clients every month. I like doing it standing up.
I do too.
Yep.
Yeah. There's just something about I'm more engaged, I'm more physiologically, psychologically present.
Yep.
Yeah. I like it too.
So we've talked about these stats, and they've all made a compelling case for standing up more. But what I want to know as we wind down this episode are some practical actions that we can take to spend more time moving and less time sitting. Because again, for most of us, a lot of our job requires us to be at a computer or a desk. Yeah. So how do we incorporate more activity?
Well, a couple ways. First of all, the obvious one is get a standing desk. Now, this doesn't have to be, you know, a multi-$1,000 investment. It can be, like anything else. You know, there's the full range. It could be as simple as putting a crate on top of your existing desk and putting your laptop on top
of that. I've seen many people do that.
I have too.
Yep.
And if you look on the internet, you know, there's a lot of low-cost solutions, do-it-yourself kind of rigs.
Yep.
You can go to IKEA and get a pretty cheap one.
There's a lot of add-on contraptions now
Yes.
that you can add to an existing desk that immediately make it a standing desk.
This is a really hot product category. You remember in our mastermind, the Inner Circle, we shared about this idea in the first Inner Circle meeting, and several of the guys went out and bought them.
Not only did they buy them for themselves, but some of them bought them for people in their offices and their teams.
It's making a difference for them.
Yeah.
But you can get more elaborate ones. One of the first ones I ever saw was my friend Robert Smith had one, and he had one that was on hydraulics. So you can sit, and then with the push of a button, the thing just goes up on a hydraulics right in front of you, and it's the same desk. Whole thing just goes
so
right up.
This is like where the boys kind of geek out with their technology, but now it's, you know, transferring it to their desk.
So I have one that's a really beautiful piece of furniture that I bought when I was at Thomas Nelson. That was my first one, and then my one downtown and the one I have being made right now. I had somebody build it to spec, and I was surprised I actually could have it built cheaper than I could go out and buy one like I wanted.
Wow!
And you know, in fairness, full disclosure, the one I got in my downtown office was $1,200.
Yeah.
But it has three pull drawers and, you know, it's got a place for my printer under it. And I think we've shown this off in various videos, but it's great. So it doesn't have to cost that much.
So one practical thing that people can do is get a stand-up desk, and they don't have to go spend a lot of money if they don't want to, but or they can create their own setup. But the main thing is here is, you know, create a stand-up desk for yourself.
Right.
Got it.
Second practical action you can do is work from a treadmill. Like I was talking about the treadmill desk.
And this sounds funny and almost like, you know, playful in a way, but like it's not practical. But there, you have done this.
I'm telling you, I've literally worked a full productive day at a stand-up treadmill with a desk over it, and it was no different. You get totally used to it. Huh. You can walk. The great thing about this is you're not just burning the calories from standing up, which you burn more calories merely standing up. But you also get the added calories of walking.
Right.
And you can look online. I think 60 Minutes did a special segment on this. You can find it in a lot of different places. But this could be a real option for you. And particularly if you're trying to lose weight and you have the freedom to be able to do this, maybe not in a conventional office. Maybe you could. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But for sure, if you work at home, you could do this. And it would be a lot healthier solution than about anything else we could recommend.
Okay. So first two actions, get a stand-up desk. Number two, work from a treadmill. What's the third?
Number three, walk or bike instead of drive.
Now,
Gail and I intentionally decided that we would live in a walking community.
Yep.
So we live in a small suburb outside of Nashville, and we walk everywhere. We literally live right downtown. My office is three blocks from my home. There are probably five or six great restaurants within a three-block radius of my home. And so we walk everywhere. We have a park that's a one block away from us that's a beautiful park. And we go walking there. We go running. We have bikes. And in the springtime, particularly, we haven't got them out this year yet. But we love biking around town. But just anything that's not sitting.
Yep.
You know?
And I think the one thing that I would say about this is creating almost a routine or a ritual around it too. You know, I've mentioned in a previous podcast when we were in South Africa for our adoption, that became part of my ritual with the kids was we would go for our morning walk. And they got to the point where they just loved it. Like they loved getting up and going out in the morning. Probably because we also ended at a cafe where, you know, we had breakfast and they enjoyed going out for breakfast. But that we were still walking and out and we were active. And I think I enjoy doing it with others. Because I find when I'm doing it by myself, I don't know, for whatever reason, I don't do it as much. But when I'm doing it with somebody else, I'm far more likely to do it.
Yeah, and that reminds me of another one. This actually isn't on the list here that I've got in front of me. But another one is get a dog.
Yeah.
Because a dog forces you to have to get up and go walk the dog.
Totally
I mean, you could have a fence in your yard and just let the dog go do its thing. But
if you love the dog, you're going to take it for a walk.
You're going to take it for a walk. And we talked about this on another episode. They all kind of blur together. But, you know, when you walk a dog, you get a lot of the energy out of the dog so the dog will sleep and not keep you awake all night, right? And so the dog will be calm. So walking the dog is a great trick as well.
Very true. Very true. So number one, get a standing desk. Number two, work from a treadmill. Number three, walk or bike instead of drive. What's your fourth practical action?
My fourth one is park far away.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so I'm competitive. And when I park someplace, I like to get as close to the front door as I can.
Yeah.
But then I realized that's stupid. I'm missing all these opportunities to walk, to add a few extra steps into my day. And if you've ever, do you track your steps, by the way?
I don't track my steps.
Yeah, I track my steps just on the iPhone app. Okay. You know, it's all part of the health thing that the iPhone has now. But I get real competitive with that too. And I want to get as many steps as I can get. So if I park further away, then I get more steps.
You're gonna be able to pad your stats.
That's right. And if you're achievement oriented and like numbers, that could be a great device. And you don't have to buy another device. The iPhone actually tracks that now.
Interesting. So parking far away is going to help you spend more time moving and less time sitting.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. What's another practical action we could take?
Another practical one is take the stairs. Hmm. My friend Rory Vaden has a book titled that, Take the Stairs, but it is a philosophy of life. And my philosophy is that take the stairs while you can, because there'll probably come a time in your life when that won't be an option.
You know, I had a real powerful experience along the same lines. When I was a teenager, I was playing on a very competitive soccer team. And one of the things that we did to raise money was we ran up the stairs of the CN Tower. Now,
how high was that?
The CN Tower at one point was the tallest building in the world. It's, I think, number three or four now.
In Canada?
In Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah. And so if you ever come to Toronto and you see this tall, you know, building, that's the CN Tower. And there's stairs all the way up that.
Wow.
And so as a fundraiser, our soccer team, we raised money and then we ran up these stairs. And I still remember my time, 14 minutes, 21 seconds to get from the bottom all the way to the top. But I was exhausted. And but the point of just being able to do that, I remember, had a very profound effect on me, because there were people that were trying to make it up those stairs and they could not make it. And they had to get off at, you know, certain points. And I remember exactly what you said there, where I felt almost like this sense of gratitude that I was able to climb these stairs. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, they can't do that. They get winded, their joints can't handle it, or what have you. I mean, I know even with some of my parents' friends, they're now looking at homes where they don't have to climb stairs because they can't.
Yeah.
So sad. It is sad.
See, one of the great things about climbing stairs also is, as you get older, you don't understand this now, but as you get older, a couple things you have to be concerned about: flexibility and balance. Hmm. Okay, there's also endurance and strength and everything, but balance and flexibility are two things. When you walk upstairs, you have to balance yourself with each step. Hmm. And so it's really good for maintaining your sense of balance, because one of the major threats to older people is falling.
Yeah.
And falling comes from a lack of balance. And so anything you can do to build your balance helps. So taking the stairs is one way to do that.
Okay, so we're talking about now some practical actions that we can all take to spend more time moving and less time sitting. Number one, get a standing desk. Number two, work from a treadmill. Number three, walk or bike instead of drive. Number four, park far away. Number five, take the stairs. What's number six?
Number six is be active in the evenings instead of watching TV. This is where a lot of people, even with standing desks, fall short, because they go home, they sit in front of the TV, they veg out. And they're sitting for several hours, maybe 3 or 4 hours.
We don't realize how quickly that time can fly.
I know, it really can. And it really adds up, and it really has, as we've pointed out, a detrimental impact on our health.
Yep.
So to be active, you know, to go for a walk. You know, if you have the luxury of walking to dinner or walking to a friend's house or walking to go shopping, mm-hmm. you know, even to just go to a mall
yep.
and walk. But anything where you can be active in the evening is very good.
And again, you talked about the dog. I remember when we had our little dog, Obi, that was part of, he got into a routine too. You know, we had a morning walk and an evening walk. And the other benefit to that, I mean, I know we're talking about moving more and sitting less, but the other benefit to that was you just got to see more people. You know, you would see people out and about, and oh, there's probably my Canadian accents coming. I could see the smile out of the corner of my eye, my shouts and abouts. But anyway, it was just a great experience to be getting out, and people like walking in the evening. So yeah. It's a social thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've talked about six practical actions, but I know you got one more.
One more. And that's just simply something I really believe in, exercise every day. I actually exercise 6 days a week, so I take Sunday off. But just exercising.
Yeah.
You know, get up and move. Whether it's swimming, biking, treadmill, elliptical, AMT machine, which is my favorite, doesn't matter what it is, but exercise.
Yeah.
You know, you'll do yourself a huge favor, your cardiovascular health, prevent, you know, diabetes, onset diabetes, joint health, everything, you know, but just exercise every day.
It's fascinating for me too, because I was sharing this with our Inner Circle Mastermind, that one of the guys in the Mastermind was talking about getting a trainer. And I remember saying to him, it's a must, in my opinion, and I know you believe in it too, because when I didn't have a trainer, I somehow would find an excuse not to exercise. But when I had a trainer who I was accountable to and I had to be there, I was exercising all the time. And, you know, this happened during the Christmas holidays when he went on Christmas holidays. Before that, I was religiously in the gym 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
During the Christmas holidays, I didn't go once. When we went away for our adoption, I was gone for 6 weeks. Before that, I was religiously in the gym 3 times a week. When we went away, I exercised 3 times in 6 weeks. So, you know, I was walking a lot of time, but I wasn't doing my normal routine. And it, for me, the importance of exercising, it really boiled down to having somebody to do it with, because I just found that much easier.
Well, and, you know, I really do believe in hiring a personal trainer if you possibly can, but I know that's not an option for a lot of people, right?
But yeah, just even finding somebody to do it with, you know, a friend, relative. Yep.
You know, somebody in your family, could be your spouse, you know, you could develop a relationship while you're doing it. So it doesn't have to cost you money.
No.
But just the idea of that accountability, bringing in an outside resource to exercise every day is great.
And the other thing I would say that I found funny is when we were in South Africa and we were walking all the time, I was going to write a blog post about this, because there were the weekend walkers who would walk on the weekends. There were the sunny day walkers who would only walk on sunny days. And then there were the everyday walkers. Those are the people that we would see every day.
Wow.
And it was amazing to me, you know, the difference between, because it's really a mental state, you know, in terms of committing to doing that on a regular basis.
Yeah. And once you do that, once you make that commitment, you know, it makes life a lot easier.
Mm.
You know, you just say, okay, this is what I do every day. This is where I'm going to show up. It's become a habit.
Yep. So today we have talked about the importance of standing and moving more, because there's a lot of hidden dangers to sitting while you work. And we talked about the stats that Michael shared. And again, the first stat was probably your most compelling.
Death.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much worse than death.
You're going to die sooner if you don't stand or move more. The second one was that sitting contributes to obesity. The third was that sitting jobs directly correlate to cardiovascular disease. And the fifth stat was the negative effects of sitting are immediate and not long-term. And you talked about all of those. And then you gave us some practical actions that we can start using right now to spend more time moving and less time sitting. Number one, get a standing desk, which, again, you believe in. You've got stand-up desks everywhere. Two, work from a treadmill. Three, walk or bike instead of drive. Four, park far away. Number five, take the stairs. Number six, be active in the evenings instead of watching TV. And number seven, exercise every day. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can get the full show notes and the transcript over at Michael's blog at michaelhyatt.com. Plus, you can also see the full video, which is posted there as well, if you'd rather listen or watch rather than listen. And that's also at michaelhyatt.com. Now, in the meantime, can you just do us a quick favor? Go to iTunes and just rate the podcast. The reason being is we want to attract more people like you to the podcast. And when you rate it, that's going to help elevate the show, get it in front of more people. And we'd be grateful for that. So with Michael, I'm really talking to you, Michael, as we wind down this episode and wrap it all up, do you have any final thoughts on sitting and standing, moving, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I'd like to give our listeners a 30-day challenge.
Okay.
You know, nice. I love experiments, and to me, all of life is an experiment. This nice. Might not work for you. I have a hunch it will. But give yourself 30 days. Just try to stand up more. Get some kind of contraption or something. Get a stand-up desk. That's where I think it really ought to start. Hmm. And just see after 30 days if it's made a difference for you. If not, fine, no harm, no foul. But if it makes a difference, it could be the very thing that saves your life or at least allows you to live more healthy for a longer period.
Well, and I'm excited about the 30-day challenge, and I would encourage people to go to your Facebook page at facebook.com/Michael Hyatt. Let us know how the stand-up challenge is going to work for you. Let us know. Keep us posted on your results. Is it working? Is it not? What are you finding challenging? What are you enjoying about the experience? Let us know at facebook.com/Michael Hyatt.
Perfect.
All right, so thank you for joining us today, and until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.